You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. Carlos Carrasco was knocked around pretty good in his start against the Astros yet again, which makes us wonder, is it time to panic about this Mets starting rotation? I'll talk about that on the show today in the first segment. I'll go through the game today and how Carlos Carrasco got knocked around. Chase and Schrieff fared even worse. The Mets lineup could do nothing with Framber Valdez. We'll go through all that in the second segment. I'm going to go starter by starter. Who can you trust in this Mets rotation for the remainder of the regular season? Then in the final segment, we'll get to the really important question. Who can you trust come October? Do the Mets have four viable starters for their postseason rotation? I'll get to that later on. Before we do, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at justbaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Today's episode is brought to you by the Sports Card Investor app. Welcome to the world of trading cards reimagined. Stay tuned later in the show for more information on this awesome new tool for collectors. You're going to want to check out the Sports Card Investor app. So the New York Mets got destroyed by the Astros again. The one silver lining that you can have as you're waking up today on a Wednesday, and there's a day game, is you know that when you're coming home from work today, the Mets will want to play the Astros again for the rest of the season. That's the best thing I can tell you. This is one of those matchups where I don't think you have to overreact and think that because they can't beat this one team, it means that the season's over. It's not like that. I don't know if you remember back in 2015, there was a New York Mets team that seemed to have a little bit of success. And, you know, they found their way into the playoffs and they squared up against the Chicago Cubs. And going into the series, everybody was worried because every single time the Mets played the Cubs in the regular season, they lost. What happened in the playoffs? The Mets swept the Cubs and went to the World Series. Not saying that the Mets are going to meet the Astros in the World Series this year and they're going to sweep them, but it could happen, okay? It's a possibility, just as much of a possibility as the dire situation that Mets fans are already thinking of right now, where this season's going to get derailed by this one thorn in their side in the Houston Astros when it's all said and done. Don't take too much from a couple of regular season games. And so tonight, yeah, the Mets lost, and Framber Valdez was really good. The Mets had a couple opportunities. There's a bases loaded spot, obviously, that jumps to mind, where they didn't get anything, and that was a real bad spot where you would have loved to see them come through and have the clutch hitting. And yeah, the clutch hitting has eluded them a little bit in June. It hasn't been as great as it was in the first couple months of the season. I understand that. But if we look at the context of this month, to me, I don't think it gets worse than this. Big knock on wood, I get it. I know I'm not supposed to say that because suddenly my words spin the jinxes into the universe. I don't believe that either. So you just look at it from the scope of a normal season. Every season there's going to be a tough month. And June historically has always been bad for the Mets. I mean, talking about recent history. And it's still going to be a winning month for the Mets despite all of this, despite a West Coast trip, despite losing Max Scherzer, not having him the whole time for this month, despite losing Tyler McGill, despite injuries that not guys like Brandon Nimmo was out for a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, this month. Jeff McNeil, we just saw him out of the lineup for a little bit this month. You had the Lindor injury scare, the Alonso injury scare, the Marte injury scare. And yet, as we're getting towards July, you can see a team that can rally heading into the All-Star break, hopefully, and then after the All-Star break with Scherzer getting close, with DeGrom getting back soon. So I just need to caution the panicking Mets fan, as I try to do, to not overreact when the Mets lose a game. And that's what happened here. And look, 97 pitches through eight innings. Valdez, if this was a close game, he probably gets a complete game shutout. 2.65 ERA in the season now. Batters only hitting 212 against him. He's really good. He's been really good since the start of last season. So there's no shame in that. We can, at some point this week, maybe we'll talk about Eduardo Escobar and JD Davis and the catcher spot in the lineup and what that's going to look like going forward. But that'll be maybe the who do we trust in the lineup podcast we could potentially do this week. I actually had a listener who asked me today to do a who do you trust in the rotation, just like I did one last week on who do you trust in the bullpen. And maybe I'll do one in the lineup as well. But to me, the large sample size says you can trust this Mets lineup as a whole. Now, you talk about Carlos Carrasco. We're going to get into him a little more in the next segment. Gives up four runs in the first inning. Kyle Tucker hit a three-run shot. There's no shame in giving up a home run to Kyle Tucker. It's 15th of the year. This is not me making excuses for Carlos Carrasco like he made for himself after the games. Here you go. I'll throw a bar back at a guy that I've been behind all year. And you know, if you've been listening to this show, that I think Carrasco will be fine. And I have a lot of confidence in him as a pitcher. But after the game, he complained about a check swing call on Jose Altuve that led to a leadoff walk, which I think for him snowballed the inning. And you could say he's being ridiculous, but I also think he was being honest. And if you don't get a call, that can be in your head, especially when you're facing a team who got you bad last time. A really good lineup. When you have someone lingering, not only like Kyle Tucker, but like Yordan Alvarez, guys that you just know you make a mistake and they're putting one on the seat, some of the best home run hitters in baseball, it's going to hurt you when you think you have Altuve strike that and you don't, and then suddenly it can get away from you quick. That's what happens. So he gives up four runs. Like I said, Kyle Tucker's home run really capped off that drive or that rally there. You go to the fourth inning, he gives up another run. He walked Kyle Tucker. Tucker stole a base, and then a base hit scored a run. In the fifth inning, Carrasco gets pulled after giving up a single, and Chasen Shreve comes on. Shreve faces Yordan Alvarez. Going into that at bat, lefties were hitting 298 against Chasen Shreve this season. Left-on-left matchup, leaves a pitch he can handle. Big home run for Alvarez. And Shreve gives up another that inning, and suddenly you're talking about another four more runs allowed. Ball game over. Now, Chasen Shreve, one of my guys, first player interview we had on this podcast, so have a soft spot in my heart for Chasen Shreve. Good dude. I felt like he was going to be good for the Mets this year. Unfortunately, based on the numbers, I was wrong. 6.58 ERA. He's a DFA candidate. Just is what it is with Chasen Shreve. But you look at Carlos Carrasco and the outing he had, and as bad as it was, you know, if a pitch goes a little bit differently, if he gets that strike out of Altuve in the first, maybe that inning doesn't snowball. And like he said after, maybe he goes six. I think that's kind of optimistic to say that one thing changed everything, but I don't think that he looked completely lost. I think he made a couple of bad pitches. He lost a couple of hitters there, but he also got a couple of double play balls, and I don't think Carrasco is that far away from getting back to where he's been. And I'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute, but I also want to talk about where the Mets stand right now, and again, kind of leaning into this idea that, you know, suddenly because they can't beat the Astros, they can't beat good teams. Again, I want to reiterate, the Mets have 25 wins against teams over 500. That's the most in baseball. They're also the only team in baseball outside of the AL East that has even 20 wins against teams over 500. And the reason why three of the five teams, I believe, have over 20 wins against teams in the AL East is because almost all of them are against teams that are over 500 is because all those teams in the AL East outside of the Orioles are over 500. So they're just constantly playing teams that are above 500. And the Orioles actually have 21 wins against teams over 500. They're 21-26. But the Mets, they're seven games over when it comes to playing winning teams. And that's a really good record. So I don't think the Mets can't beat good teams. I think there's just one good team that has their number right now, and that's the Astros. And it doesn't get any easier when suddenly they're not pitching Justin Verlander instead of, I thought it was going to be Luis Garcia. But now it's Verlander who's going to be going against Taijuan Walker. And Verlander has a 2.22 ERA this season. He's been every bit as good as he was prior to the Tommy John surgery. So that's going to be a tough task. There's a chance the Mets end up swept here. But I don't think that changes much on my view of this team because I just still have faith in the larger sample that we have seen this season. But who do I trust in the Mets rotation? I'll tell you in just a minute. But first, I want to welcome you to the world of sports cards reimagined. Of course, I'm talking about the Sports Card Investor app, which is the hobby's most powerful resource. You can quickly check the value of all of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. It's available completely free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores. The Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for all baseball fans. You can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. Check for the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts. You can find the best prices and buy directly through the app with their eBay Deals feature. Whether you're interested in investing in prospect cards or you're hoping to find deals on some great players from the past, here's what you got to do. Download the Sports Card Investor app today, which is available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. So I understand if you're out on Carlos Carrasco. It has been a rough stretch for him. His last four starts, not been good. ERA over nine. You look at his last nine starts, ERA of six compared to his first six starts of the season where he had a 3.19 ERA. I understand. The reason why I have so much faith in Carlos Carrasco is because if he's healthy, and that's the other thing we don't know, had a little back injury. How much is he pitching through right now? Does he not feel right? That could be a distinct possibility. And considering the state of the Mets rotation, he could have an injury that doesn't get worse necessarily by pitching on it. It might be a pain tolerance thing. He might be just going through it right now. We don't know about it. And he might just be in a point where he's trying to help out the team. And so he's going out there, he's taking the ball, and he's not having success. But here is something I found that I think might calm your nerves a little bit as a Mets fan. 2018, Carlos Carrasco. This is his last full season before the various health problems that he would have over the ensuing years. This is the last time he really did have a full season where he started 30 games plus. 2018 begins the season with a 2.31 ERA. That is through his first five starts. Then he has a seven-start span where he gives up 29 runs over 41 innings, pitching to a 6.37 ERA. Sound familiar? That ballooned his ERA all the way up from 2.31 to 4.50 over the final 20 starts of the season. He lowered that down to 3.38. Now, still half a season left here for Carrasco, just made his 15th start. I would still not be surprised if he could lower that ERA down below 4 by season's end. It's at 4.85 right now. I just have confidence in who this guy is as a pitcher because of what we've seen in spurts this year and the large sample size of his career. Now, if he's not healthy, just like last year, it's tough to really judge what he's doing. And as long as he takes the ball, there's no excuses for that. But I do believe if he is healthy, and again, it's an if, I think he'll right the ship really soon. So I got confidence in him. It's hard to have full trust in him when it comes to a playoff rotation, but when we're talking about the regular season, keep giving the ball your fit out. And that's this kind of line in the sand that I have here when doing this exercise of who do you trust in the Mets rotation. So then we go through the other names. Taijuan Walker, 3.03 ERA this season. I'm starting to get behind him a little bit because he's throwing the ball so well. How could I not? How could I ignore what he's been doing? Not to mention the strikeouts have been up, and that splitter looks really nasty. It seems to be sequencing it better to be able to use it more as a strikeout pitch. I like what I'm seeing recently. So Walker, for the regular season, trust him. David Peterson, 3.10 ERA. I trust him right now. I really do trust him. In the regular season, that's the caveat, I trust him. Chris Bassett, 4.01 ERA. We know his numbers got ballooned a ton on that West Coast trip and just pitching against the NL West in general. I think if you look at a start-by-start basis, he's still been better more often than not for this Mets team. So I still got faith in what Chris Bassett is going to bring to the table throughout the remainder of this regular season. And I have more faith in him than others when it comes to the postseason. But we'll talk about that a little more in the next segment. So with all that said, comes to the regular season rotation, this is why I've been saying the Mets don't have to make a trade. Because I think to get through the year, they got four guys in the rotation that I still trust. And to a certain extent, I'm okay with Trevor Williams as a fifth starter because I don't think it's going to be the case for that much longer. And if Tyler McGill comes back at some point this season, I'd have trust in him. If Joe Lucchese were to come back, I'd have some trust in him in a regular season rotation. I think the Mets' depth is good, and it's going to be fine to get them through the year, especially with the impending return of someone like Max Scherzer, who's just going to change the entire makeup of the ball club. When you get a guy like Scherzer back, it lessens the pressure for Carrasco and Bassett and Walker. It just does. So that's, coming soon. He's going to be starting against the Hartford, was it Yard Dogs or something like that, on Wednesday now. That goes well. The Mets, as I already talked about on yesterday's show, they didn't need him for this week. Maybe you can see him at the top of next week, maybe on Monday, or something along those lines. But the question then remains, who do you trust to take the ball in October? Scherzer's a given, but who else do you trust? I'll talk about that in just a minute. But whether you're ready to pop the question or if you're just celebrating a milestone moment, you can find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Build the engagement ring of her dreams with Blue Nile, which has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind, so you can celebrate life's special moments with fine jewelry from Blue Nile, as their jewelry experts are on hand 24/7, available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com, and Locked On Mets listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. So with the code Locked On, again, that's code Locked On, you can get this great deal. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace by going to BlueNile.com today. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter just looks up your parts on their computer, choosing only the one brand their warehouse happens to carry, when instead you can go to rockauto.com, shop from hundreds of manufacturers, save 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same auto parts you would get at a chain store or new car dealership. RockAuto.com is a family business that's been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every customer, so go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Again, go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Make sure you write Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Trust in this Mets rotation when the calendar turns to October. Whenever I do an exercise like this, I always have kind of a hypothesis, right? What do I think? And my thought going into it was, obviously, Scherzer, DeGrom, you trust him. No doubt about it. Self-explanatory. Bassett, okay. And then my argument was going to be, I still trust Carlos Carrasco, and I think that the Mets should, because he probably has more playoff experience than anybody on this roster outside of Max Scherzer. Then you look it up, and Carlos Carrasco was actually hurt in 2016 when the then Indians made their run to a World Series. So he's only made three career starts in the postseason. That was a little bit surprising to me. Has a 3.86 ERA, but small sample size. So this idea that he's a veteran with a ton of experience in October, not a narrative I can push on you. And I get it. I get the idea that maybe you don't trust Carlos Carrasco in a playoff rotation. And I'm not even necessarily 100% sold on that either. But you look at Chris Bassett, 3.27 ERA in two starts. He won a wild card game in 2020, seven innings pitched, really strong effort, only gave up a run. Last year, gives up three runs in four innings pitched against the Astros in a playoff game. So that's where you get that 3.27 ERA. I trust Chris Bassett as a number three. I think that we still have yet to see the best of him. I think he's going to get stronger as the year goes on. So I feel pretty confident in the top three. Look at Taijuan Walker. He only pitched an inning in the playoffs in his career in 2017 when he was a member of the Diamondbacks, and he gave up four runs. Not a ton of experience there, and the experience he has obviously does not leave a good lasting memory for him. Scherzer's the rock. 3.22 ERA over 128 and two-thirds innings pitched in the playoffs. We know Jacob deGrom was great in that 2015 run, but has not pitched in the playoffs since. So the question remains, though, do the Mets have to get somebody to bring in to give them that playoff experience. Well, let's talk about who is available that they would be potentially adding. I think Luis Castillo has a ton of experience all those years in Cincinnati. Not really. Tyler Mahle, same exact team, same situation. Not a lot of experience. Frankie Montas, have the Athletics won a playoff series since he debuted? I doubt it. I don't even know if he's even pitched in the playoffs. I didn't look that one up, but I'm sure Chris Bassett's only made two. How many starts could Frankie Montas even have? Now, obviously, the bigger thing would be that you think they might have better stuff than a Carlos Carrasco, and I can get that argument, but the thing for me is, as much as those guys are good, let's look at Jose Berrios right now, right? Jose Berrios was the name last year, couple years of control, you can bring him in, he could be that great starter for you. Toronto goes out and gets him, and yeah, that 3.58 ERA in 12 starts, he was decent. This year, he has a 5.86 ERA in 15 starts. Let's see, did he pitch at all? I don't even remember if they got into the playoffs. They did not get into the playoffs last year. So, you know, Berrios actually had some playoff experience with the Twins, but the point more is, just because you get a guy that was the hottest name at the deadline doesn't necessarily mean that's going to improve your chances to win a playoff game. The Mets' strength when they get to the playoffs is the fact that they'll have Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer to start multiple games in any playoff series. That's your strength. That's your bread and butter. That's where you have a great separating factor. And I still go back to this idea when it comes to trading for a starting pitcher that the juice isn't worth the squeeze. I really feel that way. Now, look, the Mets go out and make a move and they decide that they need a starter. Yeah, if you pin me down to it, who do I think is a better pitcher in a game four situation, Luis Castillo or Carlos Carrasco? I would have to go with Castillo. But I don't think that the gap there is wide enough that I want to give up Ronnie Mauricio plus to get him. So when you get to who you trust in this Mets rotation, I trust this Mets team. That's what I trust. I trust that Pete Alonso, Francisco Lindor, Starling Marte, Mark Canna, Jeff McNeil, all these guys that have come together, Brandon Nimmo, Louis Guillorme, I trust that that team, defensively, offensively, that team is winning ball games. That Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom, when they come back, will immediately vault up this rotation into a stratosphere that nothing at the deadline could possibly impact them in that type of a way. And yeah, the Mets season is tied to the health of Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. Their ceiling is tied to that. I think they can make the playoffs with just Scherzer. And hell, you can go on a run with anybody. Obviously, what makes this team scary is getting that duo together. But there's no Jacob deGrom available on the trade market right now. There's not. So I understand that whenever there's an internal problem, the fan reaction is to look elsewhere. Where can we find something else? Because I just can't see Carrasco anymore. I can't do it. Every time you get frustrated, you get mad, you get angry. I get it. But Carlos Carrasco has been at this profession, at this specific job, for longer than most pitchers in baseball. And he's done it well for longer than most pitchers in baseball. So have some faith that he can work his way through this and figure it out. Have some faith that Chris Bassett can be the guy that he's shown glimpses of being. Have some faith that Buck Showalter is going to put the pieces together. And has some faith in a Mets team that still, despite everything, let me look right now. Obviously, the Braves picked up another game. That's the other thing. A little word of advice. Stop scoreboard watching until August. You're just wasting your time. You are. Hey, you're getting yourself riled up for no reason. Check back after the deadline. See where the Mets are. You can check the standings, but don't scoreboard watch. You're basically setting out to give yourself anxiety. The Mets are four games ahead of the Braves, 47-28. Still, despite everything, best record in the National League. And that's the last note I want to give you as we close the show today. Day game, so we'll be talking about that tomorrow. Maybe a little throwback Thursday for the Thursday show as well. We'll see what I come up with, but that's going to be all for this edition. Locked On Mets, as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB Prospects, hosted by Lindsey Crosby, who is a prospect encyclopedia. Locked On MLB Prospects is the best place to go to get a deep dive on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts.